It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
I'm here. Busy day. Bear with me. Welcome in. Wednesday edition of the show underway. Apologies for the delay. I'm trying to get everything situated here. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks so much for being here. And we got a lot to get to on the show, as you might imagine. And details forthcoming. It is Wednesday, September 6th of 2023, and however you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com, thank you so much for being here, and make sure you follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert, and like the Facebook page, type in 1650thefan.com. You'll find us on the Zuck Machine, hammer that like button, and you'll get more local and statewide sports content into that Facebook feed of yours. What's not to like? Go do it now. Bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. That's where all sorts of our local and statewide sports content finds its way first, even before it goes on air sometimes. So make sure you're making a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Save the number in your phone if you ever feel compelled to dial us up and add to the program with any questions or comments. 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918. Or you can dial 800-913-9479. Or if you'd rather email than call, you can do that. We have the technology. Email address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, coming up on the show, we'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update during the break, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast from Megan Mulford on the rest of this pleasant Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. We'll come back in the next segment, and David Eicholt, our friend from HawkeyeInsider.com, and the 24/7 Sports Network. You follow him on Twitter at David Eicholt. He will join us and break down everything that he saw from Iowa's season opening win 24-14 against Utah State. Iowa did not cover the spread in that game. I think it's fair to say it was a bit of a lackluster win, if you will, and not a great start whatsoever when it comes to that Iowa offense needing to average 25 points per game for Brian Ferentz, offensive coordinator, to keep his job. I think a lot of people were like myself thinking, well, before you get into the rigors of a Big Ten schedule, you need to rack up some points in these non-conference games against what on paper are lesser opponents. And coming in a point shy of that needed average, not going to get it done for Brian. So we'll of course, talk about that and dig in on everything Iowa as this Cy-Hawk week transpires. Of course, coverage of the Cy-Hawk game you can hear right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation, 1650 102.3 The Fan. And that'll begin at 12:30 pregame on Saturday with a 2:30 kickoff from Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. The voice of Iowa State football, John Walters, was on the program yesterday. So in case you missed that, you can go listen on demand at the website, 1650thefan.com. John, like always, was great to talk to with great insight yesterday on the Cyclones after their week one win over the UNI Panthers. But after we talk with David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com and get the Iowa football breakdown, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side of that break, and in the third segment, our good old buddy Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist. You follow him on Twitter, at Sean Keeler. He is going to join the show. He was in Fort Worth this past Saturday and took in all the sights and sounds and dramatics of Colorado's upset win over last year's national runner-up, the TCU Horned Frogs, and Coach Prime Deion Sanders' debut as an FBS head coach. And I'm sure many of you, whether it's listening to Dan Patrick, Jim Rome, Rich Eisen, any of our other shows, our nationally syndicated shows, have heard a lot about this game that took place, and understandably so. When it comes to exposure and grabbing headlines, anywhere Deion Sanders goes, he's a force of nature in that regard, like him or not. And I'm always happy to talk to Sean. I want to make that very clear. But in a moment like this, it's obviously outstanding to be able to have him as someone who will come on this show and give us a look inside of what he had, which was outstanding coverage. He had a game story, you know, wearing his reporter's hat that was great. He had a column shortly thereafter, which was outstanding, like usual. You're going to get coverage everywhere, basically everywhere from or on this Colorado Buffaloes football team because of Coach Prime Deion Sanders. And there's, by nature of that, going to be plenty of outlets where you go, you know, I'd just rather not. You know, whether it's good, bad, it's just there's going to be so many places to get this coverage. And Sean's been in this. He's been covering this team since before Deion Sanders got there, obviously since the moment Deion Sanders got there. And he's on the ground in Boulder. So if you're looking for someone who I would say is, it's like a responsible media outlet, media person in that media outlet to follow as it relates to the Buffaloes, other than some of the, you know, quite frankly, blowhards that are going to be out there just trying to steal clicks, so on and so forth. Give Sean a follow on Twitter. Really, do it right now. At Sean Keeler, SeanKeeler. And I know he'll appreciate it. He does outstanding work. He really does. And looking forward to being able to chat with him about this Colorado Buffaloes team led by none other than Coach Prime. That's coming up in the third segment today. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout and get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up what is a Wednesday edition of the show. Speaking of that NFL Network update, that reminds me to remind you that the NFL regular season debuts here on The Fan with Sunday Night Football. And that is going to feature an NFC East rivalry game as the Dallas Cowboys will be in New Jersey to take on the New York Giants on Sunday night. Coverage of that one will begin at 6:30 with a 7:20 kickoff. So enjoy that once again from our great partners at Westwood One Sports. All right, before we dive into area sports news and scores, maybe you've heard this. I'm sure it's been everywhere. Like I was talking before, there's so much coverage out there of this Colorado Buffaloes team. But I want to say this. It's Deion Sanders' pregame speech he gave his Buffaloes before they went out and took on TCU and defeated last season's national runners-up, Colorado, coming off of a one-win season. Colorado, I think it was like 3 to 5 years it had been since it had won a non-conference road game. And if you've heard some of what Coach Sanders has had to say in the lead-up to this season, not only did he kind of just like tie that all together perfectly in this, as much as you might think he's a blowhard and just doing this for the cameras, like, it all aligns with everything he said so far. And plenty of you out there are going to go, man, I don't know about that. But guess what? This connects with the young men that he's coaching.
Usually God gave me a word long before this, but he's been holding it. Because it's not about them. This is about us. This has nothing to do with the team that's opposing us. This is about us. This ain't got nothing to do with the naysayers, the unbelievers, the haters, the doubters. This is about us. When we started this journey, we told you it was going to be trying, it was going to be tough, but you endured because it's about us. That man next to you is a miracle. That man next to you is a believer. That man next to you is a go-getter. That man next to you is a dog. That man next to you is somebody who wants this thing. That man next to you is somebody who believes. That man next to you is somebody that got to have it today. We ain't got tomorrow. We got now. We ain't got next. We got now. We ain't coming no more. We here.
That's good, man. I mean, I could understand that might not reach inside of everybody who's listening, but when it comes to reaching a generation that's just one below mine, it lines up with the things that he had been saying since he got to Boulder. And not that there's not coaches out there that can't give speeches that are as good or better than that, but he seems like he's a really good coach. And he might even be better than really good. It's just he's a lightning rod for criticism because he's prime. So I can't wait to talk with Sean Keeler about it more in the third segment. But for now, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. Last night in Metro High School Volleyball, Class 5A 6th ranked Cedar Falls got past 4A 4th ranked Cedar Rapids Xavier in four sets. Class 5A 14th ranked Iowa City High defeated Waterloo West in four sets. And in Class 2A, 8th-ranked South Hardin slipped past Waterloo Columbus 2-1. Yesterday in Metro Boys Golf, Cedar Falls, Waterloo West, and Waterloo East competed in the Metro meet held at Irv Warren. Cedar Falls won the event with a team score of 294. Waterloo West was the runner-up. East finished in third. The Tigers' Evan Schofield was the meet's medalist. He shot a season-tying low. Last night in Metro Girls Swimming and Diving, Cedar Falls defeated Linmar in a dual meet 133-50. Three Iowa State football players have agreed to plea deals that will see them plead guilty to underage gambling while other charges will be dropped. An attorney representing Hunter Deckers, Jake Rimsburg, and Dodge Sauser announced the plea agreements this afternoon. All three were initially charged with records tampering, but the state has agreed to drop that charge. The three players will each pay a $645 fine. The plea deals are the first from the group of seven Cyclone football players charged in that statewide sting that seemingly targeted athletes at Iowa and Iowa State. And yes, I'm also waiting for the shoe to drop at any other universities. UNI softball coach Ryan Jacobs has received a two-year contract extension that runs through the end of the 2028 season. In 16 seasons at UNI, he's recorded 464 wins, and the Panthers have posted eight seasons of 30-plus wins, qualified to the NCAA regionals twice, won one Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Championship, and claimed four regular season titles. Last year, the Panthers finished 39-12 and won their second straight Valley regular season title. Well-deserved. The UNI volleyball team heads south for its final non-conference road tournament of the season. The Panthers play at the Texas A&M Invitational in College Station tomorrow through Saturday. UNI is 3-3 to begin its season and opens that tournament tomorrow afternoon at 4:30 against TCU. That'll go on the air on our Koloff Media Station, 106.5 Corn Country, at 4:15 tomorrow. UNI volleyball player Kira Fallert has been named the Missouri Valley Conference Offensive Player of the Week. Fallert, an outside hitter, had a strong performance at the Creighton Blue Jay Invitational over the weekend. In three matches, the junior posted 41 kills and had four aces. Her strong effort earned her all-tournament team honors as well. Through six matches this year, Fallert leads UNI with 80 kills. Meanwhile, tonight in college volleyball, Iowa State plays at Iowa in the Cy-Hawks series. The Cyclones off to a 5-0 start this season. The Hawkeyes are 4-2. First serve tonight at Extreme Arena in Coralville is at 6. And Wartburg has two players named to the D3Football.com Team of the Week. Hunter Klassen and Parker Rockford were each honored for their achievements in last Saturday's 62-35 season-opening win against Monmouth. Klassen ran for a career-high 247 yards and six touchdowns. Rockford intercepted three passes, one of which was a pick six. His three INTs tied not only his career high, but also the single-game school record. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk Hawkeye football, break down the Week 1 win, look ahead to Saturday's Cy-Hawk game. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
The San Francisco 49ers and defensive end Nick Bosa have come to terms on a contract ending Bosa's holdout and making him the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. He gets a reported 5-year deal worth $170 million. Bosa gets a $50 million signing bonus and $122.5 million guaranteed, according to the NFL Network, who also reports that the Niners will waive all of the fines that Bosa accrued during his holdout. Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp will not play in Week 1 against the Seahawks because of his hamstring injury. The Seahawks will have rookie wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba. He'll go against the Rams despite having wrist surgery just a few weeks ago. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow will start Sunday in Cleveland as he practiced fully today. Burrow missed a majority of the preseason with a calf strain. Josh Dobbs, the Cardinals starting quarterback, in their opener against the Commanders, according to the NFL Network. Major League Baseball placed Dodgers pitcher Julio Urias on paid administrative leave.
From the preseason all the way to the Super Bowl, The Fan is the Cedar Valley's home for the NFL.
Staples has big savings on everything for school or the office. Save on school essentials like notebooks, pens, and crayons. In stock and backed by Staples Price Match Guarantee. Save on signs, banners, and posters from Staples Print and Marketing Services. And now save even more with $10 off document printing when you spend $40 or more. Get everything for the office and classroom for less at Staples. Ends 9/30. Exclusions and restrictions apply. See associate or visit staples.com/print for details. Price Match Guarantee in store only. Visit staples.com/pricematch for details.
What does it mean to be bold? To me, being bold means to dream bigger, live better, and make an impact. I'm Dr. Jared Smith, Superintendent of Schools for the Waterloo Community School District, where we're gearing up for another awesome and enriching school year. With over 10,000 students across 21 campuses, our district remains one of the largest in the state of Iowa. We use our 21st century curriculum to teach our students to be bold, and we couldn't do any of this without the strong, ongoing support of our parents, teachers, staff, administrators, local businesses, and city officials. Thank you all for everything you do to support the Waterloo Community School District, with the ultimate objective of helping each student in the district to be bold and achieve their goals. Learn more about how we provide educational opportunities for every student at waterlooschools.org.
The Waterloo Community School District, where the future is now.
This is Brent Musburger's Visa in Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. G.Bank/VSIN.
The NFL season opener Thursday night as the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs will be at home at Arrowhead Stadium as they take on the Detroit Lions. The Chiefs getting a scare in practice on Tuesday as Travis Kelce suffered a knee injury. There's inflammation, but his ACL is intact. However, the status for Kelce for Thursday night's game is not yet known, and Kansas City now a 5.5-point favorite over the Lions for Thursday's opener. Kansas City minus 230 on the money line. The Lions are plus 190. The over under is 52.5. With your VSiN Action Update, I'm Tony DeZuri, 1650 The Fan.
meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows level off around 53 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 75 tomorrow. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Mainly clear skies again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 50. Bright sunshine expected Friday with daytime highs approaching 79. 83 Saturday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 66.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650, The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show continues. And we talked Iowa State UNI football yesterday. Today we're talking Iowa Hawkeyes football as the Hawks got a 24-14 win in their season opener at Kinnick Stadium this past Saturday against Utah State. And who else but David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com to join us now. David, my apologies. Wanted to get to you a little earlier in this segment, but I spent a little time in the monologue today talking about Deion Sanders. I'm going to have Sean Keeler of the Denver Post on in the next segment. And knowing you and how much you love college football, I would imagine you found some time, despite everything on your plate this past weekend, to take a peek at what went on there with the Buffaloes' win over TCU.
I don't know who's in charge of all these odd makers to only put Colorado at above 3.5 wins and give people plus money for it on the season. I mean, Travis Hunter is absolutely incredible. Kadir Sanders, I'm not saying they're going to win the Pac-12. I'm not even saying they'll be bowl eligible, but that team has some dogs. And I think the thing, when you look at this team, Cole, there are four wide receivers that had over 100 receiving yards in that game.
Yeah.
I have not gone back and looked at it. Did four Iowa wide receivers have 100 yards on the season?
I don't. I would bet against it. I would bet, actually, without even looking, I would bet a lot of money against it.
So, look, man, and the thing is, I like Deion. I know he's kind of a hit or miss character with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the most interesting storylines there is. But if Deion's, you know, Deion tells you that he reminds you of him, that's the recruiting pitch he gave Travis Hunter. And watching Travis Hunter, Deion might be right again, Cole.
Yeah.
That was a very, very fun game, and I expect Colorado to absolutely shellack Nebraska this week, and I think they win by 17 to 20 points at least.
I'm glad you brought that up. I meant to bring that up in the first segment, that the fact they host Nebraska, I have a feeling they're going to beat the brakes off the Cornhuskers. But I want to dig in on, of course, Cy-Hawk week and get everything out of your notebook from Iowa's win over Utah State. First things first, as it relates to Cy-Hawk, David, I know the forecast for Saturday isn't as warm as last Saturday's when the Panthers were in Ames, but I can gleefully report that there is now air conditioning at the press level of Jack Trice Stadium, and it was functioning quite well last Saturday.
Insert the Meek Mill quote of "I used to pray for times like that."
yes.
Because a couple of years ago, I absolutely was boiling up there. I'm not even kidding. I thought I was going to pass out up there. So God bless the nice people of Ames, Iowa, and Iowa State University to finally put air conditioning in there. And keep in mind, I was there when that game got delayed. Remember, it was like almost a tropical storm.
Yeah, I was too.
The student stormed the field about 4 years ago. It was still so hot. So we were in there for probably 7 to 8 hours. And I thought about going on the field and just diving headfirst into the muddy waters that were on that field because was just so, so scorching hot. So that, you just made my day with that, Cole. Thank you.
I thought you would appreciate that, and I'm glad to pass the message along. On something that may not be as great as of vibes, David, Iowa gets a 24-14 win over Utah State. They don't cover the spread. They look like world beaters, and Cade McNamara looks like he's going to have a statue after the first two touchdowns of that game. And then next thing you know, it's like shades of 2022 reemerge. Your biggest takeaways, I suppose, starting with the offense from the win over Utah State.
You know, I think it was just missed opportunities. One, I thought I'd give Cade an A. I thought he was absolutely spectacular. Look,
yeah,
the stat sheet's not going to be eye-popping, But keep in mind, at best, he's 80%, maybe 85% on that quad muscle. But if you look at the missed opportunities, Cole, I could tell you three plays that should have resulted in touchdowns that were not. There was a great pass to Nico Ragaini on that left corner where Nico just turned over the wrong shoulder. He turned toward the defender and stepped away. But Cade put an absolute dot on that. Luke Lachey, it went off the top of his hands. It bounced in the end zone and it was not picked off. That's another one. But there were a handful of plays that weren't made. There were a handful of throws where you're thinking, you know, he was a little bit lucky not to get picked off. I thought Iowa's pass protection was pretty spectacular for the most part. I thought Cade really maneuvered the pocket quite well. I've always said you don't need a guy to extend plays or go outside or be a Brad Banks or be one of those scrambling quarterbacks. You just need a guy who's confident in the pocket, can take a hit and make the throw while taking the hit.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with Cade. I thought Cade showed a lot of moxie. Iowa's running game, no doubt, has to be better. I don't even chalk up to Caleb Johnson or LaShawn Williams. The offensive line was horrible at run blocking, but the totality of the offense, man, I came away a lot more encouraged than discouraged, especially when you compare it to the play of last year.
Right.
And how perfect was it, Cole, that Cade's first pass was as a Hawkeye was a touchdown?
Yeah, well, and that's why I mentioned it. It was like, hey, we're going to build a statue for this kid. Like, that's how good he was. And then I'm glad you pointed out, because I agree. I watched the game Sunday morning, and I thought, man, this is what me and David had talked about, where it's like, for whatever Spencer Petras may have been able to become, he never was going to be a fit in Iowa's offense. He just wasn't a fit for the scheme, and it seemed pretty obvious before the end of the first half. This is what a quarterback should look like in Iowa's offense that fits the scheme. And then he's also got some talent on top of that, which is great. But I think the thing to really hit on there with what you had to say was the level of encouragement versus discouragement, because that run game averages 2.4 yards per carry. I'm sorry, but with Kirk Ferentz's program, that offensive line has been such a big part, a staple of his program, and you can't push Utah State around to more than 2.4 yards per carry, given everything we've heard about the talent of Caleb Johnson and LaShawn Williams. I think that's the place we differentiate here, David, is where our meters are for what it's worth after 1 week on encouraged by Cade McNamara and the passing game and what seems like can take place there, the potential, versus, man, you couldn't push Utah State around. You averaged 2.4 yards per carry. The offensive line still looks like it's a big issue.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing where you got to kind of look at. I mean, I think the play calling, when you think about the second and third quarter, I thought the play calling was a little bit suspect because, Cole, this is where when I rewatched the game, this is where I thought. Iowa's offense looked the best when Cade took shots down the field and allowed his tight ends, allowed his wide receivers to go make a play.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something we saw last season with Spencer Petras. Now, granted, it was not just Spencer's fault. The offensive line, as we discussed, was not good. They were not as healthy at wide receiver either. But I love the way that Cade was willing to say, hey, you know what? Go 20, 30 yards downfield. I'm going to throw it to you. You can go make a play. But the other question about the offensive line, they were so good in pass pro. I think Cade got sacked once. I thought a couple times he evaded pressure quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But he threw the ball 30 times. And I thought the offensive line, for the most part, did a great job. So what are we going to get? Is Iowa's offensive line going to progress to the mean, or are they going to regress to the mean? Because I just don't see under Iowa's offense and just under Kirk Ferentz, the run blocking and the pass protection seem so far apart. So what's going to give? Is the run blocking going to get better,
sure,
or is the pass pro going to get worse? And I think that's something we're really going to have an answer to as September comes to a close over these next 4 weeks.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz just needs to prove what he's proven many times over, that he can develop a team not just during the offseason but during the season, and specifically that offensive line and its run blocking. David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com, 24/7 Sports, our guest right now on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. It's Cy-Hawk week, 2:30 kickoff Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames of Iowa at Iowa State. Let's talk about the defense before we talk about the Iowa-Iowa State matchup, David. It just seemed like another pretty much trademark performance that it's like you can't take these for granted. out of Phil Parker's unit. I mean, Xavier Nwankwo with that pick that was impressive. Beyond that, what stood out to you?
You know, it's interesting because I actually thought Iowa's defense was a little bit disappointing, Cole. I think the thing that was interesting and what makes it a little bit difficult for Iowa's defense was they got rid of their coordinator, and the way Utah State attacked Iowa's defense was with a quick passing game. You look at Cooper Lagos, obviously Xavier had that great athletic interception that you brought up. But Iowa's defensive line, I still believe, is going to be really good this year. But the way Utah State utilized these quick plays that only averaged about 5 or 6 yards to completion, Iowa's defensive line really never got a chance to go all the way home. I thought Jay Higgins was outstanding, 16 tackles. Nick Jackson, I still think, is going to be a lot better than he showed. I think his numbers will kind of be pumped up over the coming weeks. I think he was forced to cover the slot wide receiver a lot more than Iowa anticipated. But I thought Deshaun Lee, the redshirt freshman who stepped up in place of Jamari Harris, who's going to miss this week's game against Iowa State as well. I thought Deshaun Lee played great. But again, you go back to missed opportunities. I think of at least two plays that should have been interceptions. Cooper DeJean should have had a pick six, but he was not able to hold that in. So Iowa was much closer to like 40 points, Cole, than they were to 20 or to 17. I think when you, again, it just goes back to, will Iowa be able to take advantage of those opportunities as the season goes along? So not a discouraging performance. And again, I think you need to give credit to Utah State. I thought they had a good game plan against Iowa. But to the standard that we've kind of held Iowa's defense to over these past, especially 3 years, obviously they've always been good under Phil Parker and Norm Parker even. It was just a little bit disappointing compared to what I thought they would be at right now.
Yeah, if you're graded on Iowa's scale, maybe like a B minus or a C plus, which would be like a D minus, which would be like an A minus on a lot of other teams' scales, for that matter. Just winding down here with David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com. Let's talk about the Iowa-Iowa State game. David, just quickly, did you get a chance to watch Iowa State's win against UNI?
Yeah, and you know, to be honest, Cole, I don't know what we learned about them. I thought that they'd have a good dynamic. I think Iowa State's defense, especially in that secondary, I think they'll be good.
Yep.
I don't know where their ceiling is, but I think they're going to be reliable this season. But Iowa State's offense, I still don't know.
No.
Like, I still have a hard time seeing what they have right now, really exposing Iowa's defense or really attacking Iowa's defense. So I think we're going to learn a lot more about Iowa State this week than people did last week against UNI. Because I think people are taking far too many takeaways from Iowa State against UNI last week. I think we're really going to learn what Iowa State has this weekend.
And I think in particular, in terms of taking too much away, is Iowa State, that fan base so thirsty for success on special teams. They had it against UNI on Saturday. I'm not sure how that translates moving forward. I do think that secondary is absolutely legit. Cade's going to have his work cut out for him. Guys are not going to be open quite like they were, I think, a week ago. But then I think the biggest question may be, it's like, which I said yesterday talking to John Walters, voice of the Cyclones, that I hate to oversimplify it, but maybe the first team to about 140 rushing yards that therein sets up its play action wins this game.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad take at all. I mean, I think Caleb Johnson has a chance to really emerge himself. I think Iowa's offensive line has a chance to really take a step forward. And I have always said, Cole, keep this in mind. It applies to Iowa State and Iowa. Teams across the country in season, when do they improve most?
1 to 2.
Week 1 to week 2. So I think we're really going to get a better idea of what both these teams are sort of capable of. But I'm telling you, man, if Iowa's worried about the Iowa State secondary, Luke Lachey and Eric All, I think Eric All could have an absolutely massive game, especially if you throw one of those young linebackers guarding a Luke Lachey, guarding an Eric All.
Yeah.
That's a tall task for anybody, but especially a younger linebacker group that Iowa State does seem to have right now.
All right, David, enjoy the AC in the press box on Saturday. We will enjoy your reporting as always, and stay away from the Cyclone Burger, okay, at the media spread.
I got you, man. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Have a good week, okay?
All right, you have a good one, too. David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on this Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. I can get into a little bit of that later But for now, we got to take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up during the break. On the other side, we'll talk Colorado Buffaloes football and the force of nature that is Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports reporter and columnist, joins us next right here on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa quarterback Cade McNamara will get his first taste of the Cy-Hawk series when the Hawkeyes visit Iowa State in their 70th meeting. 2 years ago, McNamara was the starting quarterback for Michigan when the Wolverines took on Michigan State.
I just remember it being just an awesome game. We came up a little short, but to be honest, I loved playing in that game. I love playing in rivalry games, and you know, I just can't wait to experience, you know, the Cy-Hawk rivalry for the first time.
Yeah, do you copy, Mark?
Key for the Hawkeye offense, solving an Iowa State defense that has smothered the run game the past couple of years. The Hawkeyes have averaged only 62.5 yards on the ground the last two meetings with the Cyclones, and the run game did not look promising in a 24-14 victory over Utah State. This is Radio Iowa.
Hi, this is Hawkeye coach Kirk Ferentz. My players know that success is not a given. There will be challenges, but with hard work, there are no limits. And that's true no matter what field you're on. With less than 5% of Iowans making a living off the land, the Iowa Hawkeyes are proud to celebrate Iowa's hardworking farm families. Ordinary people
with
extraordinary determination and strong dedication to bringing our nation food, fuel, and fiber that we all depend on while protecting our land and water. Farmers are the backbone of this country. That's why our players are proud to wear the ANF logo on their helmets. It serves as a reminder to all of us that America needs farmers. Join the Hawkeyes and the Iowa Farm Bureau as we celebrate America's farmers during ANF Game Day on October 21st. You could win the ultimate ANF fan package, 4 reserve seats, sideline access, and an autographed football. To register, visit AmericaNeedsFarmers.org.
The National Cattle Congress Fair is happening September 20th through the 24th. It's fun for the whole family. There'll be food trucks, carnival rides, livestock exhibits, an expo hall, and more. Ride your motorcycle to the fair Thursday for Bike Night. And who could forget this year's Fair Concert Series? The Fair Concert Series features Not Quite Brothers on Thursday. Free with gate admission. Country superstars Tracy Lawrence and Chris Cagle perform Friday. Everclear with the Alteras and the Pink Spiders on Saturday. And Christian artist Benjamin William Hastings on Sunday. Brought to you by Waterloo Warehousing, Bill Cowell Ford, and Bush Resource and Recovery. Make sure to purchase your concert tickets now. Buy your Super Pass for $30 and receive admission all 5 days of the fair. Purchase your Super Passes, fair tickets, and concert tickets by visiting NationalCattleCongress.com. Come celebrate 113 years of the National Cattle Congress Fair. September 20th through the 24th. It's everyone's fair.
Are you ready to get fit at the YMCA? Try one of the 40-plus fitness classes per week to get your heart rate up, burn some calories, and have fun. Let one of our certified fitness instructors lead you through a fun exercise routine in a variety of styles. Looking for some individual attention? Let a Y-certified personal trainer help you get going on your path to success. 3 sessions for only $99. Get fit at the Family YMCA, where you belong.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
Join the Rotary Club of the Cedar Valley for Putt Putt for a Purpose this Thursday, September 7th at Lost Island Adventure Golf. This 3 to 4 person best shot begins at 6. Not a big golfer? No worries. This is mini golf. Just bring your luck. Have fun and raise money for service projects right here in the Cedar Valley. Just $25 per person includes 18 holes of mini golf, dinner, and prizes. Putt Putt for a Purpose this Thursday, September 7th. Visit cedarvalleyrotary.org to register.
Cooper's
Tap Room at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls is now open. And as soon as you step foot inside, you'll see that Cooper's Tap Room is not your usual College Hill bar, as it offers a wide array of ice-cold tap beers, signature and seasonal drinks, a delectable, unique menu, and the environment you desire with TVs all around and the feel of a longtime local establishment. Find out more at cooperstaproom.com or by following them on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter.
When you're at home, don't miss Cole and Company. Tell your smart speaker to play 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show rolls on. I am still efforting one Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. And I would imagine life's probably just a little crazy. Work, maybe more specifically, a little crazy for one Sean Keeler these days, being the Denver Post beat reporter for Colorado football. We're hoping to make connection with him and talk a little bit about the Buffs' week one upset win at TCU, 45-42. A game that, I mean, if you watch that, that's an instant classic. I mean, you can't ask for much more out of a college football game. So hopefully we'll be able to connect with Sean here before the end of the show. For now, though, we'll pivot and hear some audio from Cedar Falls High School volleyball coach Matt Johnson. As I told you at the top of the show last night, the Class 5A 6th-ranked Cedar Falls volleyball team got past a 4A 4th-ranked Cedar Rapids Xavier in four sets. And we'll hear from Coach Johnson now as he thought, or well, as you might imagine, he was glad to see his Tigers get a win against such a tough opponent.
Xavier's really good. They, you know, obviously they've got a phenomenal player. Last week we saw a phenomenal player and didn't do a very good job. I thought today we did a great job against Fandel and moved our block where we needed to, defended. She got some, but we also forced her into some errors by being tough defensively, so that was exciting.
And due to the warm weather, this match was moved to Holmes Junior High, where there's some AC, but a more intimate environment at Holmes. What did you think about that, Coach Johnson?
We told the girls that it's kind of an odd deal playing at Holmes in front of 300 people instead of the high school in front of 1,000, but like embrace the environment and get excited and let the crowd get excited. It'll get really loud in here, and it did. That was really fun.
And finally, Coach Johnson says he hopes this is a win that can be a springboard for the Tigers.
I hope so. You know, I thought we've played a couple of good matches, and then all of a sudden we fell a little bit flat Thursday. So, you know, the key is to, like, make sure we're staying a little bit more focused at practice and not having those kind of roller coaster rides. We've got five matches on Saturday against good teams, but teams that we feel we're better than. And so it's important that we come out in each one of those matches and just play the way we're capable of and take our opponents and respect our opponents.
All right, let's take this time out. I think we've got Sean on the phone, so I'll connect with him real quick. We'll come back. We'll use the final segment to talk Colorado football with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. That's next right here on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Chiefs kick off the 2023 season tomorrow night against the Lions and could be without 8-time Pro Bowl tight end Travis Kelce. According to head coach Andy Reid, Kelce hyperextended his knee in practice Tuesday, and his status remains uncertain for Thursday night. Kelce has been extremely durable the last 9 seasons, missing just 1 game for COVID and 2 games for healthy Week 17 scratches. Defensive tackle Chris Jones remains a holdout, with NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reporting the two sides are not close to negotiating a new deal. Meantime, Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow is trending towards starting Week 1 against the Browns, according to NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Burrow has been recovering from a calf strain he suffered in late July. And the Colts plan to employ a running back by committee in Jonathan Taylor's absence. Head coach Shane Steichen says, whoever's got the hot hand, let them ride a little bit. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Dallas Cowboys are looking to take advantage of a historically weak NFC this season. Cowboys roster loaded once again. The question isn't about this season, it's about the future. Former All-Pros Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, both on the wrong side of 30, and arguably the team's two best players, CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, are still in need of long-term deals. To make matters even more complex, Dak Prescott is now also in search of a contract extension. Jerry Jones isn't one to shy away from these sort of discussions, and went as far as to say the plan is still to keep Prescott around long term. Dak has led Dallas to 6 winning seasons in 7 years. That's been in large part due to his supporting cast. And with Dallas already struggling to manage the cap, The looming extensions for the Cowboys trio of Prescott, Lamb, and Parsons has to be cause for concern as Jerry Jones continues to attempt to recreate the success his team found back in the 90s. I'm Dan Patrick. This is Above the Noise. NFL opening night is coming, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is hooking new customers up with a can't-miss offer. Place your first $5 NFL bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can take advantage of two new offers every single game day this September. New customers, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code Patrick, get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. That's code Patrick, only on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Cole and Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show rolls on. We have found Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist, and he was in Fort Worth on Saturday for Colorado's upset win over TCU, 45-42. And Sean, as always, thanks so much for being here. For as much as there is to talk about that doesn't relate to that football game, that was a damn good football game.
You know, and Cole, apologies for jumping on with you late. Coach Prime had my receipts and yelling at me again.
I so figured. It's good to be
one. That's my world. Yeah, and that's the thing. On top of everything else, in a week that had not a lot of great games, frankly, you know, not only that, and it was Fox's national game. They hyped it every 5 minutes. Was Deion riding Ralphie, something that will never happen, by the way, because he's scared of animals. That's his one weakness. Like, you know, Superman, Kryptonite, Green Lantern, Color Yellow.
Wouldn't be good, Ralphie,
which is pretty funny. But, yeah, it was a great game. If you were neutral, it was just a great game.
Yeah, that's what I said. In terms of college football, you couldn't ask for much more. I mean, it was an instant classic. You know, good for his boy Shadur. As a guy myself who watches a lot of FCS football, I genuinely wondered about his ability to translate his skills or how they would translate to the next level. And I thought, you know, for as much deserved confidence that he carried in his post-game press conference, that he made a really great point that defensive linemen get off their blocks quicker, but he thought that secondaries were pretty comparable between FBS and FCS. And I think once you get past like the top of the depth chart, you know, you get from the ones to the twos, that's where you'd see the difference. But I thought he hit it right on the nose, and he was right. I mean, 500 yards and four 100 yard receivers. I mean, it was like you wrote in your column, it was PlayStation like.
It reminded the offense, and I like Sean Lewis. We've talked about him for, like, jobs, like CU and CSU for months, frankly. So they keep in mind, they have really good coordinators. And whatever I say about Prime, Deion, and I'll say a lot, he knows what he's doing. I'll say a lot of things about Deion. I won't say he's not smart and savvy about what he does. And I think he gets out of the way. Literally for this stuff where it's like, Sean Lewis, you do this. Charles, you do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll figure out the punts. And how many times have we seen, and I think you know it full well, that your offense is probably as good as your coordinator, whether they're in the family or not. And Prime right now isn't. Let's put it this way. Prime has his kids doing his quarterback doing his video shows. And somebody else who could be a Power 5 head coach one day running his offense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's he gets that. And it reminded me of, like, me running NCAA 09 or something. Like, that's, like, I'm doing bubble screen this, bubble screen that. And I'd end up with, like, 35 for 42 for 480 against the computer. Kind of thing. And that's what that, but isn't that what that looked like?
Yeah. Well, for me, NCAA football 2014, RIP, the last one.
Yeah.
All right. When it comes to that post game press conference, for me, besides, you know, Deion really cashing in the receipts with Ed Werder, I didn't think it was hardly off-brand at all. It was like, if you're stirred up about this post-game press conference, then you just don't know Deion Sanders. You didn't think he was going to take a victory lap and call out the haters in the post-game? I mean, where you been, man? I mean, yeah, he's a lightning rod, but I mean, anybody out there who's hating is somebody who already had their mind made up about Deion, as far as I'm concerned.
And he's not going to change. Like,
of course not.
I went into that game, as we've talked about it, you know, I'm going to be very honest, good, bad, or otherwise, to a fault, is that there were literally about 12 paths this game could take because we just didn't know. We watched 7 minutes of open practice, and everything else has been walled off to us except for his video team. It's like Iowa again, you know, old days. Like, we don't know. Like, we can tell you what we think we know, but we're lying. And I walked up there with my old fraternity brother / buddy Stu Mandel on the elevator at Fort Worth and looks at me and says, how's this going to go? And I said, I'm prepared for about six different possibilities, but I'm not going to rule out them winning by like three or four is one of them because, I mean, they have speed. They got talent.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the ultimate experiment of what if you put an all-star team together? That's kind of what, and then figure out the old, like, anti-ference. You know, figure out the O-line to D-line later.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But by God, if we have the best athletes, if you put his athletes and his outside perimeter guys with, like, a typical classic Ferentz lines, like, you'd have Michigan. You'd have Bama.
Yeah.
You'd have that. So we're kind of halfway there. And let's be honest, too, were they playing a top 30 defense? Probably not.
No.
Like, I think the 45 points is what surprised people. It's what surprised me. I mean, they could probably give up 40 to anybody. Now, maybe they played a top 30 offense. I like Sonny Dykes. I like what they do. But time is going to bear that out. And obviously this weekend, I believe in sample sizes. You know, we're not going down the baseball rabbit hole. We are not. But I believe. You don't have time.
We don't have the time.
You don't have enough money for the FCC fines I give you on baseball right now.
I'd imagine.
As you can imagine. But there, we'll have two games. I want to see an average. I want to see what this looks like with a better coaching staff, probably better talent, maybe not faster talent, but probably better talent, and certainly more physical talent. And because I'm afraid they may just do some unhealthy things to Colorado State next week based on what I saw at the Rams. and then we'll have a good sample size. And that's why I'm really, really curious how they adjust to what Nebraska adjusts to them, because they did a pretty decent job of that with the second half. That's the other thing that surprised me, is they did a pretty decent job coming out of halftime where I thought they'd just get blown out of the water and go away. They did not.
What do you think? A couple things came to mind after being able to watch all that, because I was in Ames covering Iowa State, you and I, but a couple things came to mind, Sean. One is I genuinely wonder, and this doesn't come from like a bad place or anything, like what Coach Prime will sound like when, like, loss number three or loss number four or maybe loss number five happens this season.
Yeah.
Not that he can't handle it. I'm just genuinely curious what those post games will sound like. Then maybe on the more positive side of the coin, and watching that game back, I thought, if this is what they look like in year one, what are they going to be in year two?
I think neither of those questions comes from a bad place. I think that comes from a genuine intellectual curiosity, because I feel the same. I don't judge anyone until I see them in adversity or adverse moments.
Yeah.
And we have not, coworkers, friends, loved ones, and certainly coaches and people I cover. So we have not seen that yet. We have had many theories on that. I'm going to imagine, I hope that I'm wrong. I'm coming from a objective place where I fear, based simply on 1 week, that we will deal with an insufferable winner and an intolerable loser. But I don't know. We don't know. And I don't think that's an unfair point. And I think your point about if this is step one, it should theoretically get better. Yeah, I think that's the idea, too. I think this was always going to be a better team next year than now, and certainly a better schedule. and a better chance to start. But it is 1 week, and back to the sample size thing, what are they going to be like when people have actual tape? Because now they do. Just as we're kind of guessing.
Great point.
To be fair to TCU, they're guessing too. And Matt Rhule's staff is not. They're going to have a lot better idea. And so we'll see SU with 2 weeks to get ready, although their talent is nowhere near this on any front, which scares me because I like some of those guys and I fear for their embarrassment. Yeah, but we'll see. Yeah, because when you have to actually scheme up, that's going to be a different deal. And so I think we're going to get some real – it's going to be a fascinating picture a fortnight from now when we've got three games with – a fast team that you beat on the road good, with a more physical team in the case of the Huskers that you got to play at home, and then a rivalry in state game where you should be better and should win that 9 times out of 10, but they got 2 weeks to get ready, because then, as you know, then they get Oregon and SC, so you jump right to the fire right out of those non-league games.
Sean, great stuff, man. I got to run. It was great to talk to you.
Go White Sox, Cole. Go White Sox.
I'll even give you a go White Sox. They need it.
Oh, as in go away.
All right, take care, man. See ya.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.